Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Everybody enjoy your weekend. This is a true story. I told Caroline, hey, you know, Caroline spends a lot of time preparing for the show. I told Caroline yesterday and today, hey, take it easy before the show. You know, show up. I call it a cage day because I read Chipper Jones' book. And in it, he said Don Baylor would tell him when he was hitting coach, hey, you take the day off. You know, no batting practice, no nothing. I will see you for first pitch. And then he felt like that relaxed him a little bit. So I told Caroline, I was like, hey, these 2 days, just get in when you get in. But, you know, obviously Caroline's very responsible, does her work, but take it easy because it's go time. You know, Monday, so everybody enjoy your weekend. And then Monday, game one. Wednesday, game two. Friday, game three. Sunday, game four. And I think there will be a game five. So I will probably give my prediction today. But everybody seems to think that I, for some reason, just want the Predators to lose. And that is not true. And sometimes maybe it's because of what happened in 2017 or whatever. People automatically think, oh, it's like people want me to pick against the Predators so they can be mad at me. I've never understood this.
But I think it's because people don't like you.
But I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Like, I don't, whatever. You know, what do you want me to say they're going to win? No, we don't want that. We want you to say they're going to lose. Every time you say that they win, you jinxed it. You know, all that kind of stuff.
I can't win with these people.
You cannot. I have a five-point plan, nor have I ever spent a lot of time worrying about that. I have a five-point plan for how the Nashville Predators are going to go about winning this series. There's five things I think that absolutely, positively have got to happen in order for them to win this series. And some of it may be just simple common sense, and some of it may be outside the box or asking too much, but I have come up with five things. So, of course, we start with number one, the most important thing that I feel like the Nashville Predators need to have happen in order for them to win this series against Carolina.
Number one.
They have to win one of the first two in Carolina. Obviously, when you're the road team, you're going to have to win a road game. But just going back through the history of the Predators, in 2017, Chicago, St. Louis, and Anaheim had all one thing in common. The Predators won game one. Pittsburgh, they lost game one. You know how that happened. 2016, in Anaheim, they won both games one and two, and they ended up winning seven in Anaheim in order to win that series. In the San Jose series that followed, 0-2 at San Jose. They came back and won two, but went back to San Jose and lost game five, won game six. You got to win one of the first two. You win one of the first two, it puts all of the pressure onto the Carolina Hurricanes, especially if you win the first game. Now, it doesn't mean that Bridgestone Arena is the magic elixir or that there's no chance the Carolina Hurricanes come in here and win because, quite frankly, the Carolina Hurricanes are a good team, but they have got to win one of the first two games. I'm not saying they have to win them both. I'm not saying they have to win game one. I will not, even if they lose 8-0 on Monday night, I will not come on the air after game one and say the series is over. You do it again in game two, I'm going to have a hard time believing they can win. I think they've got to take one of the first two in Carolina, steal the home ice, and take all of the momentum, but maybe even more importantly, put all of the pressure on the Hurricanes.
Number two.
Number two is UC Soros is going to have to steal two games in this series. I have said that the theory for beating a team like this is Soros steals two, you flat out beat them in one game, and you get lucky in another. Maybe, and Saturday night, as Adam Dingin said, kind of provided the blueprint for how the Predators could do this, maybe they could beat Carolina in two games, but I don't see them just outplaying Carolina four times. I don't see them outplaying Carolina three times. So UC Soros is going to have to steal two games. Last year in the Arizona series, and David Poile even alluded to this and talked about it earlier today, Soros wasn't bad, but he wasn't really good. In order to win this, and he may have a crapper in this series, I don't know. But if he does, it's one game, move on. He's got to steal two games. Remember the Dallas series in 2019 where the Predators got beat at home in game one? Craig Smith scored a goal in game two in overtime. They won that one. Pekka Rinne stole game three. They got housed in game four. They got smoked in game five. And Rene tried to steal game six. They lost 2-1 in overtime. A humongous turnover by PK Subban allowed the only Dallas regulation goal. He tried to steal that sixth game. In order to win that series, they would have had to have at least two steals from Rene. They got one. In order to have this series with Carolina, you have to have two steals, two games where you come back and you say, wow, Saros was fantastic. 41 of 42, 38 of 38. That I'm going to need two of those kind of performances in order for them to win this series. And it's a lot to ask of any goalie. He's as hot as anybody in the league right now. He's capable of it. But again, he's got to steal two if this team's going to have any chance of winning this series.
Number three.
The Preds are going to have to get contributions from Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. Adam Vingan brought this up, and I stand by it. I think it's obvious. The Predators lack in the forward talent department. Now, defensively, I think that they are even maybe a slight edge to Carolina, but you could also argue a slight edge to Nashville. The Predators have the clear edge in goal, although Peter Mrazek, if you look at his career, is fantastic against the Nashville Predators. But I really feel like they maybe have the edge in goal. They don't have the edge at forward. Svechnikov, Aho, Teravainen, Trocheck, Stahl. They got some dogs. They got some dogs. We saw in 2017, we looked at Chicago, and we said the same thing. Taves, Kane, Saad, Panarin, Seabrook, although he was on defense, Keith, that group. And we were like, oh, my God, look at all these names. Look at all these guys. And Ryan Johansson went out there and outplayed him. Philip Forsberg got the absolutely have-to-have-it must. Who's going to put their hand in the air, carry the team goal in game three? They got it from those guys. They outplayed them. They're going to need something similar from Matt Duchene, who did it in 2019 against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of Columbus. They're going to need something similar out of Ryan Johansson, who, as we said, did it in 2017. They're going to need those two guys to play like dogs. Because we know Carolina's got them. And we know Carolina's bringing them. We know Carolina's bringing the fastball. They're not going to have to score a bunch of goals. They're not going to have to go crazy. They're not going to have to take over a series. They're not going to have to do anything like that. But they're going to need those guys to step up. And really, physically and in terms of skating and puck possession, be able to keep up with or outproduce those Carolina forwards.
Number four
is somebody's got to help Roman Josi. Rod Brind'Amour made it very obvious in those games, in Carolina specifically, that they are going to suffocate Roman Josi. I would compare it almost to the box and one defense in basketball. Everything they did for the two games in Carolina, they circled Roman Josi and they went cat coverage on him and they did not let him get going. Somebody is going to have to help out Roman Josi. Josi's going to be okay, but somebody's going to have to help him out. When I saw the first game at Carolina and I watched the postgame show, after the game was over, that was one thing Hal Gill kept pointing out, was how as soon as Josi went over the boards, Carolina circled him, hawked him, and kept him from doing anything. They are going to do what any team would do in any sport. If it was football, they would take out your best receiver. If it was basketball, they'd go box and one. If it was baseball, they'd intentionally walk him. That's how they're going to treat Roman Josi in this series. Somebody has got to help him out, specifically on the back end. And when I say that, I'm looking at two guys. Ryan Ellis, you know how I feel about Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis and Matias Ekholm, because they will have their opportunities. The Predators are going to have to fire from the point, because that's what most teams let the Predators do. They're going to have to get guys to the front of the net, but they're going to have to help out Josi. Somebody's going to have to carry the mail. It's probably not going to be Josi, because, again, I expect Rod Brind'Amour to absolutely lock him up, especially in games 1 and 2 in Carolina, where Rod Brind'Amour controls the matchups.
Number five.
This should be the most obvious, but it doesn't technically have to happen, but it does in my five-point plan. The Predators have to win at Bridgestone Arena. Every game at Bridgestone Arena, you have to win. You lose a game at Bridgestone Arena, in my opinion, the series is over. You can take two games at Carolina. I'm not saying you can't. You can take two games. I don't count on you taking two games. And if you take the first two, you still need to win every game at Bridgestone Arena and sweep them in four. If they think they can come into Bridgestone Arena and win, I don't think that you have any mental edge at that point in the series. I'm not sitting here saying that, oh my God, a loss would be impossible to overcome in most cases. You go back to that Anaheim series in 2017, the Predators lost at home. Anaheim in 2016, the Predators lost at home. But when they were really doing their dirty work, they were 2-0 at home. When they played those big meaningful games against Chicago, they were 3-0 at home against St. Louis, and they were 2-1 at home against Anaheim. They lost one game, game four, in overtime they had to make up for it by winning game five. Don't put yourself in that position. The Predators need to win all three games at Bridgestone Arena. They need to win 3, 4, and they need to close it out in 6 if they're going to win this series, because quite frankly, I don't see them taking more than one game in Carolina, and if they do, then they need to make it a sweep. Again, I don't feel comfortable about not protecting home ice. Barry Melrose can say whatever he wants to say about not protecting home ice or home ice not mattering, and he may be right. I mean, again, in the Winnipeg series, you won games in Winnipeg. Where you lost that series, and again, you lost at home in games 1, 5, and 7. Where you lost that series was blowing a 3-goal lead in game 3. But in 2019, you lost at home in game 1 to Dallas. You lost in game 5 at home to Dallas. That cost you the series. You have to win at Bridgestone Arena. Whatever that magic was in 2017, the Predators desperately need it back. And that is the 5-point plan. 615-737-1025. We'll get Carolina Ian's reaction to the 5-point plan and your reaction. Again, I think it's going to be very tight if the Predators are going to do this. I think it's going to be very tight for them to be able to do so. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman and Company. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Nobody loves the Preds like Hiller. You see that Preds logo or that Hiller logo right there on the ice, because nobody supports the Predators like my friends at Hiller. They love the Predators, and they are really fired up for this series. And not only are they fired up for this series, but they are fired up for saving you money. Tax credits for energy-efficient home systems are back this year. When you put Energy Star certified equipment in your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. This month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling that tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems or tankless water heaters. They're offering special financing. That's right. So they're trying to put even more money in your pocket so you make no payments until next year. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporter of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hi, Coach. We spoke with David Poile a little earlier, and he was discussing, obviously, there's going to be some tough lineup decisions to have to make for game one. Is it fair to say that it's a good problem to have, the depth on your team? And how have those decisions been going over the last few days, trying to decide what that game one lineup will look like?
It is a good thing to have difficult decisions and to be able to have depth throughout the lineup, and guys that have contributed. You know, every guy that's been here has contributed to us being in this position. So you have to make decisions. I don't anticipate that the lineup stays the same every game. I think that whether you win or lose, or how the team plays or how individuals play, you know, the team may play really well, and there's a couple of individuals that may not play at the level that they need to. Just because you win doesn't mean we'll stick with that same lineup. And we got to have everybody clicking on all cylinders, playing to their identity, what their specific identity is as a player. And, you know, that's how you have to go about making your decisions. The positive thing is, you feel very comfortable whatever lineup you put together. If it plays to its potential, we can be a very competitive team in this series. There's going to be guys that are going to be out of the lineup, and, you know, they're going to stay ready like they have all year long. And you know, as I've said, David and I have talked quite a bit. I've talked with the coaches. We've talked with the players that, you know, there's going to be a lineup for game one, and there's going to be players out of the lineup for game one that, you know, you would feel could be in the lineup. But it's like all year long. the lineup that we put on the ice, we need them to play to their max capacity and to the identity that we want to play with, and then we'll continue to move on from the series from there.
That was John Hines. Hey, there were two messages there. One, hey, whoever's not in the lineup in game one, don't be upset. You may get your chance, which is probably true. And then secondly, you know, it's not about the lineup. The lineup is not the end-all, be-all. And even if we win, you know, it's all about how we feel, what we need at this proper time. I love when people who work for the team ask questions. I mean, I deep down inside, it kind of, you know, I don't like the idea that if somebody can walk down the hallway and ask you a question that they then do it at a press conference. But I do love people from the team ask questions. Coach, that's a good problem to have all those guys, right? Like, that's as if Rod Brind'Amour doesn't have a similar problem. As if Rod Brind'Amour doesn't have guys that he could put in the lineup that he's going to scratch on Monday night. Meanwhile, it is going to be for two spots, Tolvanen, Cousins, Richardson, Rocco, Arvidsson. Let's go around the room. Let's say Arvidsson is 85%. Where am I coming with that? Arbitrary number picked out by Jared. But as Caroline has learned on this show, sometimes that's how things get done around here.
Did the judge rule that was okay?
85%.
Okay.
Tolvanen, Cousins, Richardson, Rocco, Arvidsson. Who doesn't make the cut? Or who does? Who's in?
I want to say Richardson.
And?
Tolvanen.
Okay. Ian, who makes cut?
Who would I play, or who do they think they're going? Or who do I think they're going to play? What
Very
are we answering
important
here?
Way to qualify that question. I want both.
Both. Okay. I would probably play Arvidsson and Cousins. I think they will play Arvidsson and Richardson.
So I agree with you. I think they're going to play Arvidsson and Richardson. That to me seems pretty simple. I think it's for sure Arvidsson and Richardson. I would play Tolvanen and Richardson. It's a slight nod, Richardson over Cousins. But to me, those guys, there's no difference between those guys. I would play Tolvanen and Richardson. I think they'll play Richardson and Arvidsson. 100% Arvidsson for me is a question mark for cracking the lineup. But an 85% Arvidsson, I have no interest in an 85% Arvidsson. Not the kind of game they're going to have to play at Carolina. And it's not a knock on Arvidsson. It's just, you know, what do you bring to the table? With Elie Tolvanen, again, he's not playing great right now, but at least he brings something to the table. I mean, my power play, if I'm coaching, my power play is Philip Forsberg and hoping that point shots do something. And I don't consider that really a great strategy. Tolvanen, at least he's got that shot from the half wall where I feel good about, you know, even though he hasn't done it so much lately, I feel good about his ability to do that. That shot does not sleep. So I roll Tolvanen in there, and I believe that in hockey, just like blackjack, I think if you're going to win in blackjack, you're going to win hands, you're going to lose hands. There's going to be hands where you've got 20, she's got an 8, she flips over a 10, you win. There's going to be hands where you've got 16, she's got a 10, you hit to a 4, she flops over a 3, drops down a 10, she loses. You know, like those are going to happen. Where I feel like you make your money in blackjack is on your splits and your double downs. That's where I think you make your money. When you put more money on the table because you think you have an advantage and you've got to make it happen. And I feel like hockey is the same way, where I think, you know, the special teams, and I know that they look at 5-on-5 numbers because they call it a little bit looser in the playoffs, but I think that, you know, the penalty kill and the power play, if you really want a way to beat a team that's better than you, excel in those two things. Tolvanen helps you on the power play. I'm not sure that any of these guys really do much on your penalty kill. Maybe Richardson. But he's way down the list. So that would be the route that I go. Speaking of Bridgestone Arena, I asked Matthias Ekholm yesterday about the idea of 12,000 fans in Bridgestone Arena Friday night. And I think that one of the things I highlighted that they have to win a game in Carolina, even if the home ice advantage statistically isn't as big of a deal, or according to Barry Melrose, isn't a big deal at all, I think the belief the players have in Bridgestone Arena is a key to this series and why winning games one or two in Carolina is crucial. Here's what Matthias Ekholm said when I asked him about playoff games, 12,000 fans at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, it gives me chills just like when you're saying that. Like, it's awesome. I mean, I think just having fans back again this year, just when it started and it was kind of like 1,500 and it increased to 3,000 or whatever, make such a huge difference. I remember we had, I think we had like 3,500 in the stands, and then we went to Chicago for a couple of games, and there was zero there. It's just such a big difference when you can get that in. It gets a lot more emotion to the game. I feel like it brings a lot more excitement to the game. And obviously, I think for us, as you're saying, it can go two ways with when you have fans in there. But as of right now, the way we're rolling with the team, and we're just feeding off the crowd. And to know that we're going to put 5,000 more fans in there from where it was against Carolina here those last couple of games, it's awesome. It's a great feeling. And as you're saying, my focus is more again on game one than it is on game three. But you know that that's coming, and it's super exciting. That's all I can say. I'm really looking forward to it.
One of the reasons that people break up and then get back together is because when time passes, you remember the good. You don't necessarily remember the bad. You remember the good times. I remember that time we went paddleboarding on that lake, and oh, it was just the sunset.
It's like every time I go on a run, in the middle of it, I am absolutely miserable. But at the end, I'm like, oh, that was great. I'll do it again tomorrow.
It's probably something like that.
Yeah.
But my whole thing about this is there's been enough time since there's been a home playoff game at Bridgestone Arena that they forget about the series. 17 run and what that felt like. And so I think there's a lot of belief, like Tackle said. I think there's a lot of belief in that. We're going home. We believe. We do not necessarily went home, but we believe it. Things that you said that. I'm in a company. I apologize. A little technical drop right there for us. But it is, well, Fireball Hot Take Friday. So, you know, we got to celebrate one way or another around here. Let me tell the fine folks, by the way, the Nashville Sounds. We had Jeff Himmel. We were talking to Jeff Himmel the other day. And Jeff was talking about they're going to get pretty close here at some point to max capacity. And this season, catch all the action of Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds face the Memphis Redbirds at First Horizon Park. Catch the pregame show starting at 6:20. First pitch is at 6:35. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza. I am going to give Caroline Fenton a choice around here just so that she doesn't think that I'm a bad guy. And that is...
I'm nervous.
That involves Caroline's, where I very clearly am going to win the first week, as I am currently leading 13-4 to 9-8. So I'm going to win the first week. So we have a month-long challenge. And again, I am willing to rename the show Caroline and Company for an entire day if I lose. So here's your option.
Okay.
This is like golf.
All right.
We can either count it every day for an entire month, or we can go 1 week for a four-week period at a time. And after the 4 weeks, it can be like, okay, you want a hole, I want a hole, you want a hole, I want a hole, you want a week, I want a week, you want a week, I want a week. So you can either go week by week or you can go by the whole month. Statistically speaking, you're better off right now going week by week because you're down a significant amount in the standings.
All right, we get it. Okay, we get it. I'm down. I do like week by week. I think that's fun.
Do you like it because it's fun, or do you like it because it is most advantageous for you? And I'm not going to take it back, even if you...
No, I like it because it resets everything next week. I feel like a whole month, that's just a whole lot of buildup. So I like the mini competitions within one big competition.
Have you considered what you're willing to give up if you lose?
I have considered it. I have a few things in mind.
Okay, share them with the class.
So one is I will wear an I Suck at Sports Betting t-shirt for an entire show on the stream. Or I've been taking some ideas from like fantasy football losers. So things like that. And one of my good friends had to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours. So I would offer up to doing the show from a Waffle House.
I've also heard a twist to that as far as for every waffle you eat, you can subtract an hour.
Yes. Like every menu item, like a waffle is an hour. An omelet is 2 hours. I'm not going to stay there for 24 hours, but I'll do it. I'll do the show there.
We'll have to think about it.
Yeah, you ponder on that one. You get to pick.
Well, I don't like either one. But
well, do you have anything better? I mean, the show already has your name, so I can't.
If you want me to ponder those things, I will come with a list on.
You can ponder, but I you cannot make it official without telling me.
You have to offer.
Okay. All right.
Time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So it seems like I'm the resident baseball expert on this show, but
true.
Everything else, not really.
You got the Rockies money line yesterday. I took the Reds minus 1.5. They got smacked.
Whoever took the over on that game, too, is very lucky.
Very lucky. How about me getting you yesterday? I said that, the Kings had more to play for than the Grizzlies. I went Kings plus 8. Grizzlies won by 6. So I feel pretty good about it. You went Kings money line. How'd that work out?
And you bet
against your St. Louis Blues.
Well, okay, here's my theory on teams. I'm from St. Louis, so I'm a Blues fan. So I always say bet against your team, so that way if your team loses, you still make money. And if you lose your bet, at least your team still wins. That didn't apply yesterday. I genuinely did not think that the St. Louis Blues would win that game yesterday. But they continued to surprise me, as they did in 2019. But I checked the Grizzlies-Kings score with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Kings were up. I thought, okay, cool. I have this in the bag. Like, this is great. I won the NBA. Nope. I checked this morning, and the Grizzlies won.
You did not. What's on today's docket?
Today's docket, we've got Warriors-Pelicans. That is my lock for the day. I'm taking Warriors minus 1.5, and I believe that's a minus 110 wager. The Pel season is done. Like, this game means nothing to the Pels. Their remaining season makes no difference no matter what. They're without Zion, B.I., Lonzo, and Steven Adams tonight. And at this point, they're just playing for a draft pick. So I think at this point, they're like, we're not going to the playoffs. Let's just get that number one pick next year. The Warriors, however, are playing for that eighth spot. They're tied for the Grizzlies. And if they fall back to 9, then they will have to win 2 games in the play-in tournament. If you're in that eighth spot, you only have to win 1 game.
Boy, this play-in tournament is stupid.
So I did a little research on the play-in tournament. So the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th picks are playing. And the 7th and 8th spots plays, and the 9th and 10th spot plays. The loser of the 9th and 10th spot game is out. And the winner of that game plays the loser of the 7-8 game, and the winner of the 7-8 game advances.
And if it's tied, they'll just have the sack races on consecutive Sundays until they come up with a winner.
Exactly. It'll be a great time. So
I'm going to take the Warriors, too. Only reason I'm going to take the Warriors is according to ESPN's matchup predictor. And if this is wrong, I will never trust analytics ever again in my life. According to ESPN's matchup predictor, the Golden State Warriors, 77.1%. The New Orleans Pelicans, 22.9%. I just think, man, the Pelicans have just kind of put the feet up on the desk like they're donezo.
Yeah.
And Golden State, Steph Curry's going for a scoring title and all kinds of stuff. So
I'm hearing Steph Curry could be out tonight.
I'm still taking Warriors. Yeah, Steph, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins are all 50-50. But if they're all 50-50, I feel good about the three of them maybe cycling in, maybe not playing the entire game.
I'll take the Warriors.
I'm still taking the Warriors.
I feel worse if Steph's out. What's next?
We've got Braves, Brewers, your Braves.
They stink.
This is my hot pick of the day. It's Fireball Hot Pick Friday. Braves money line. Taking the Braves money line. They've got Drew Smyly on the mound, who is absolutely horrible. 6.12 ERA. Brewers have Adrian Hauser, 3.44 ERA, so it's not like he's any sort of Cy Young. But Atlanta is just so much better at the plate. The Brewers, without Yelich, just cannot get their bats moving. Brewers have a better bullpen, and they do have a better pitcher on the mound, but I just feel so much better about the Braves offensively. And I know Atlanta just got swept by the Blue Jays, but the Brewers only took 1 win away from their last series. So I'm going to take the Braves money line plus 124.
I'm going to take the Brewers. Here's why I'm going to take the Brewers. First of all, the Braves are getting at a point right now where their season might be over if they don't. I mean, not over, but where, you know, this is 3-time defending NL East champions. They may not be a very good team. I mean, the bullpen is a mess. The starting rotation, they spent $20 million on 2 guys that just stink. Drew Smyly's one of them. And Smiley's been awful. They skipped him in his last turn in the rotation, and they went with Bryce Wilson, who's not great either. Drew Smiley's 1-2, and his whip's 1.48. But here's what bothers me, is that Edre Adrianza is playing right field. Ronald Acuna Jr. is out for the Braves. So I get the Brewers, better team, at home. Braves are reeling. Three-game skid. Mess of a bullpen. No Ronald Acuna. I will take the Brewers. You can talk about Christian Yelich being out. Ronald Acuna out for the Braves is a much bigger deal. Right now, nobody else in that lineup can hit other than Ronald Acuna. I mean, outside of that.
Freddie Freeman?
214. Marcelo Zuna, 207. Ozzie Albies, 233. I mean, these guys, they can't hit. These guys that have been proven hitters over a long time, they cannot hit. And so I look at the Brewers and I say, you know what? Right now, and the Brewers can't hit either, but that Drew Smiley's terrible. No Ronald Acuna. I'm taking the Brewers, and this could be the start of a very long summer for the Braves, or at least a very interesting summer, because they're three games under 500. They've lost three in a row. They need to get back on the wagon. They need to win tonight. They need to take two out of three from the Brewers. I don't feel very good about it.
No, but not a long gone summer. Just a very long summer.
It could be a bad summer. Yeah. It could be a bad summer for the Braves. What's next?
My third pick. So I was looking at hockey games today, and my last Leafs Ottawa Senator pick didn't turn out so hot for me. So I decided to avoid the Leafs altogether, and I'm throwing something new in. Nashville SC plays tomorrow. They play Salt Lake tomorrow, and I know virtually nothing about soccer. So soccer fans in Nashville, please bear with me as I try to learn. But I'm going, there is no line yet. There is no wager yet, but I'm going to take the Salt Lake money line. Nashville SC has had a draw, not a tie, a draw, and their last three matches. I'm learning the vocabulary as well as we go along. They've won one, drawn three. Salt Lake has lost one and won their last two. Analysts say that Salt Lake is very inconsistent, and it's possible to know which side will turn up on Saturday. And analysts are leaning toward a draw, since that's kind of been the way, the trend that Nashville has been leaning toward. But I'm going to take the Salt Lake money line.
That's Real Salt Lake, correct, Ian?
That is correct.
Ian, what do we know about Real Salt Lake?
I was just saying, I don't know too much about Real Salt Lake, to be honest with you. I haven't seen a lot of the late night games yet. I have watched pretty much every Nashville SC match so far. And last week they looked pretty solid against New England Revolution. They looked pretty solid. So I honestly don't know much about Real Salt Lake. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with Nashville SC. All right. You know what? I'll root for the home team around here. I'll go with Nashville SC. I don't know two poops about this, I'll be honest. But I'll go gold.
I'll have to learn from Ian.
Or whatever the hell they
say. Is that their color?
Yeah.
It's like a highlighter gold.
Blue and gold.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah. I don't know the specifics.
It's very fluorescent.
I'll take Nashville SC. Go Pack.
Woohoo!
Go Pack. Go team go.
Do you have one for me?
I do. Tomorrow, NBC, 6:15. I am taking Peter Laviolette's Washington Capitals over the Boston Bruins tonight. Or excuse me, tomorrow night. And here's why. I think the Bruins might actually have the better team a little bit. Now, on D, I worry about it. But here's what I know. Boston has two guys that I have zero faith in the playoffs. Zero. The Capitals have three guys that I believe in the playoffs. So I believe in Peter Laviolette in the playoffs, especially early in his tenure coaching somewhere. I believe in Alexander Ovechkin in the playoffs. And I believe in Zdeno Chara in the playoffs, going back and playing the Bruins. He was captain all year long. Now, Boston is feeling themselves because they've got Taylor Hall in the lineup and they've been able to score.
You love him.
And Laviolette, oh yeah, the clowny of hockey. And Laviolette will not name a starting goalie. That surprise anybody? No. But I think it's going to be this Vanacek, Ian. I think he's going to be in
Vanacek.
Net.
I think you are right.
So he's a .908 save percentage, which isn't good. But Boston's going to go with Tuukka Rask. This year, Tuukka Rask has a .913 save percentage. The only way Boston's going to win this series is if at some point they make the move from Rask to Jeremy Swayman, who's the young kid who's 7-3.
9-4-5.
With a 9-4-5. I mean, he is a bad boy. He is there. What Saros was a couple years here, where he's the future. That's what he is. I think Rask is a pants pooper in the playoffs. I have no faith in him. I have no faith in Craig Smith either on that top line for the Bruins. So I am going to go with Laviolette and the Capitals. I believe Boston is favored in this game. So I am going to go with Washington. Give me the Caps. And I don't know what the puck line is, but whatever it may be, give me the Caps on the puck line tomorrow night to knock down Boston.
I'm going Bruins. Ovechkin is a wee bit banged up, no?
Yes.
As is TJ Oshie.
Yes.
They both have kind of had their stints with injuries over the past couple of weeks. So I feel like the Caps are coming into this series a little bit slow. I do think that the Capitals are going to take this series, but I'm taking Bruins in game one.
Do we know what the puck line is on this game?
I don't see it in my sports betting app. It may not be available yet.
So, I just...
Oh, I take it back. It's 1.5.
Caps plus 1.5.
Minus 265.
Give me the Caps plus 1.5 here. I do. I believe in Laviolette. And I know that everyone's going to sit there and say, oh, Jared Stone, here he goes again. You may say whatever you want to say, but I believe in Peter. All right. Prediction time. Next, we'll make our predictions. Do I think... Now, here's a very interesting conundrum for this. I have picked correctly twice in a row on the Predators.
Oh, feather in your cap.
But everybody remembers 2017. So everybody wants me to pick against the Predators because they think it helps the Predators. I picked against the Predators against Winnipeg, and I was right. But I will make my prediction next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. I love Fireball Sin Whiskey. Nothing says playoffs like having buddies over that are vaccinated without masks on and pouring out ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. That's right, Fireball Cinema Whiskey, it is the best. So be sure to ignite your night, ignite your weekend. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company again, game one Monday, right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 7 o'clock. It'll be a normal Predators game day. We will have, on Monday, Stillman & Company starting at 2. Then we will have Predators game day at 5:45. Following Predators game day, the pregame show, then the puck drop, and it feels like, oh, please just get here for game number one. But it is, in fact, time for us to make our predictions on how this series is going to go. The Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. I am going to be a gracious host, as I almost always am.
Oh, aren't you just the best?
And I'm going to let you guys make your selections on this series first. Who wins the series, how many games, and why? Ian, would you like to go first?
Ladies first, Caroline, if you'd like. Or I can go. It's up to you.
Go ahead, Ian.
Okay, I think I'm going to take... I'm not going to go too crazy off the board here. I'm just going to go Caroline in 6.
Why?
Well, I just think, you know, overall, they've just been on such a roll. I think their goaltending has been pretty solid. Their defense is pretty solid. Their special teams is top 3 in both categories. I think they can, the Preds will, you know, win a game or two. But overall, I just think, I think Carolina's just going to be too strong. These last two games, I think, were kind of a wake-up call. And I think they'll be coming out like gangbusters.
Caroline Fenton.
I agree. I think it will be Carolina in 6. I think the Preds will take game 1, and I think Carolina takes game 2. I know that we said one of the keys to the Predators winning this series is sweeping at home. I don't think they do that. I think they take 1 at home. Carolina takes the other game, and I think that they travel back to Carolina, and Carolina takes both games back in Raleigh.
So I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, and that's why taking care of Bridgestone Arena is probably so important, because if you are lucky enough to get game 1, you need to take 2 and 3 and then probably try to ice it in 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I this is why I wanted to sell at the trade deadline, because I knew that if the Predators made it, they would be taking on the Hurricanes or the Lightning, and I think those are elite-level teams. I am going to pick, for my official prediction, I'm going to pick the Carolina Hurricanes in 5. And the reason I'm going to go with 5 is because I think UC Saros is probably going to steal game three at home. This seems to be one of those typical series where you go on the road, you get beaten both games one and two, you cheer yourself up in the day off between games two and three, your team plays with an emotional edge with a fired up building on a Friday night in Bridgestone Arena, and you take game number three. But ultimately, the talent of Carolina is too great for the Predators. If we were to just take each part of the team and we were to say, who's better at the forward position, we'd say Carolina. If we were to say, who's better on defense, you'd argue even or maybe Carolina. If you were to argue who's better in terms of coach, I think you'd have to side with Rod Brendamore. Not a knock on John Hines. It's just Rod Brendamore has accomplished more, and he's going to win the Jack Adams Award. And then when you look at goaltending, that's the one advantage the Predators have in this series is UC Saros. I believe it'll be Peter Mrazek for Carolina. The problem is Peter Mrazek has had the Predators' numbers over the years. So I think it's going to be Mrazek versus Saros. That's your only advantage in the series. He makes it hold in game three, but ultimately I just don't think it's enough. I think Carolina is too good. The Predators have gotten better on the penalty kill, but they're not good enough. They got better at one point in the year on the power play, but it's not good enough. They're going to have to take advantage of those areas in these games. Caroline's right. They're going to have to go on the road and win a game and, you know, one or two in order to win the series. I don't think they will. So I'm going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes in five games. I think it will be a fun season and a fun series for the Predators. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, they're a massive underdog here. Yeah. And I'm not someone to sit there and I know I got all worked up and everybody remembers 2017. When I said no shot to beat Chicago. But if you remember, I picked Chicago in five in that series too. I'm not saying that the Predators have no chance. And maybe it's because I'm afraid of getting cold takes like I did in 2017. I just think that sometimes maybe we underappreciate how good the other team is. This is a good team. Sebastian Aho, Trocheck, Svechnikov, Tara Vinen, Stahl. They are legit. And now goaltending may be the one thing that slows them up. If they match up with Tampa in the second round, it may be goaltending that does them in. But I think they are too talented for the Predators. I think they take it in five. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Moneyline with Ryan Porth and Elijah Campbell is next. We will see you Monday. Full game one preview right here, 2 o'clock. Stillman and Company, have a great weekend. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.